Let's bring it in, my man Keyshawn. Throw me the damn ball, Johnson.
So I see they done extended your role at the radio station. They let you bring him in out of break.
No, he just said, let me do this one.
Man, Keyshawn, I got to blow up a little bit. Got to do something. Expand my role. Try to be like you. You on TV. You on radio. You got your own morning show out there on the West Coast.
Well, I just do what they ask me. Like I tell them, I just do what you say, boss. Any old thing for you, boss.
You know, I remember when you was here and you was talking about all those bum quarterbacks you used to play with. And, I can't throw it and I can't catch it, too. It was one of your favorite. I ain't Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny, that's for sure.
One of your favorite lines. Can you just talk about the addition of Amari Cooper to the Cowboys and what it means to Dak Prescott in this offense?
Well, I think it's going to help them significantly. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad for the Cowboys, because if you win too many games, then you got to keep your head coach. And I know how a lot of Cowboy fans feel about the tenure of Jason Garrett. So, that could be good and bad, depending on who you are. I think it helps the quarterback, though, significantly, because realistically, they really didn't have a receiver that put any fear in you. They got the young guy from Colorado State. They brought in Hearns, but outside of that, Cole Beasley's a slot guy. I mean, he can get open on some misdirection stuff or some option routes, but not just going to just whoop you running routes. I think when you added Amari Cooper, you added a player that was so significant to your passing game that you did not have in the past. And I think when you have a young quarterback, you're always supposed to have a young receiver. You're never supposed to have a young quarterback and an old receiver. You're always supposed to have that age demographic, that group, pretty much a year or two off each other so they can continue to grow in their careers together. And this was a smart move on my behalf, on the Cowboys' behalf, in my opinion, because this is beyond this year. There's growth. And I don't necessarily know that you can get Amari Cooper in the draft where the Cowboys could potentially be selected, which is the middle of the draft. Now, you would say to me, well, he's had a case of the dropsies. Well, who the hell hasn't in their career? I mean, right. Jerry Rice dropped a lot of balls his first year. He went out and became the greatest receiver to ever play the game. So, T.O.'s in the Hall of Fame. He dropped a lot of balls. I mean, you can go on and on and on about guys dropping footballs. I mean, you're getting a player that was first 2 years in the league, went to the Pro Bowl. Last year, he missed a couple games. He was dinged up. The Raiders didn't play so great as a whole. They fired the coach. His numbers went eye-popping. In comes a new coach who walked in with a preconceived notion about who the player is anyway. Because when you decide that you're not going to make him the feature in the passing game, then I already know, being around Coach Gruden and understanding who he is, that he never liked Amari Cooper to begin with. I don't care what he tells you.
We're speaking with Keyshawn.
Anytime. Go ahead, tee me up.
Okay, I'm going to tee you up. We're speaking with Keyshawn Johnson here on 103.3 FM ESPN. It's Mark Elfmine and Clarence Hill Jr. I want you to continue to talk about the coaches, but you mentioned something about Jason Garrett. And from the outside, like you are looking in as a former player, because you've played with the coaches, what do you see in him and what do you not see in him?
Well, the only thing I see is that the record seems to always be the same. I'm not in the organization. I'm not there. I don't understand the game planning. I don't know what they're doing, what they're talking about in the headset. But clearly, when you look at the records and you look at what he's able to do and what he's been able to do, it hasn't been Cowboy-type football and what I know Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones to want. So it's mind-boggling to me to try to understand why they kept him so long when it seems like to me that they're the type of owners that want to win so bad that they would get a winning-type coach that's above 500 significantly in their careers to coach the team. They want a guy who, that's going to get them into the playoffs year in and year out and win the division year in and year out. I don't think that coaches around the league fear Jason Garrett as a coach. I just don't. But that's just me. He's a nice guy. You could say, well, some organizations like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cincinnati Bengals, they like to stick with coaches long term. Yeah, that's true. But the guys in Pittsburgh have been to two Super Bowls. So you would think eventually he'll get back again. He's been in the playoffs year in and year out. The guy in Cincinnati, he continues to just coach young men and give them opportunities, but the thought process in Cincinnati is totally different than the thought process in Dallas in terms of what they want to do in terms of coaching philosophy. So it just, it's to me, I'm like, I just don't understand why he's been there so long and really haven't delivered what I thought Jerry Jones and Steven would want on a year-in, year-out basis, which is championship-caliber football.
Well, it seems to me that they've gotten comfortable, and they're more comfortable with Jason than they are uncomfortable.
Comfortable losing.
They like him. It's a comfortability thing. That's the only explanation. That's the only explanation because, you know, Jerry would, you know, we know Jerry from past. He had little pace. He wants to win so bad, and he'd get rid of guys, and he's gotten rid of a lot of coaches, but he's shown a lot of patience with Jason. But to me, he's comfortable with him. And I don't know if that's because he's gotten older and how they want to do it, but that's the only explanation.
What do you think at all that this is the end of Jason Garrett's tenure in Dallas?
I think this is it. I think if they don't win this year, and I mean do more than just get to the playoffs, they need to do something, then this is it. The buck stops here. This is the year. This year is the year that Jason's at the crossroads.
You do understand you said that last year, too.
I don't remember saying that last year. I don't know if you can't rewind the tape, and I didn't write it in the book. And I don't.
You said it last year. So did half the other people running around Texas and other sports outlets said, "Well, this has got to be it for Jason Garrett." And then it did. You know.
Okay, let's get off Jason. Let's get off Jason for a minute. I need you to talk about Dak and Cooper. And what do you think of Dak? What's your opinion of Prescott and how he's played? He even Cooper helps, but he needs to play better.
I think being a quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, there's a certain pressure that comes with you, Clarence, and he certainly has to play better at times because what happened is he gave you a lot his first year. And when you give somebody a lot your first year, it's hard to go and regress. And he's done that over the last year and a half to the point where you sit back and you go, well, this ain't the same guy that I thought I was going to have to extend and give $150 million to. What's wrong with him? Well, there's been a lot of changes. The offensive line certainly isn't the offensive line that the Cowboys had a couple years ago when they were leading the lead and all sorts of things, and they had the league best. It's not that offensive line anymore. That's just a narrative that people have set in their minds to believe that all these first-round picks and all these all-pros on the line is still the same. No, they're not. On top of that, there's receivers. There's no Jason Witten. Although Jason Witten was at the end of the line, he still was productive. Even though it was a big complaint about Dez Bryant, he still was on the team and still doing some work. All of that's gone now. Ezekiel Elliott is still playing pretty solid football. But when you look at all of that, the defense is playing better. He just needs to relax a little bit, not put so much pressure on himself. You know, I remember, I think in the summertime, he switched agents, right, if I can remember.
Getting ready for a new contract with CAA.
In my eyes, that was a mistake because that told me you're thinking about the wrong things. You don't hear about Aaron Rodgers switching agents in the middle of the summer. You don't hear about Matt Ryan switching agents in the middle of the summer. You don't hear about Tom Brady switching agents in the middle of the summer or Cam Newton in the middle of the summer leading into their contract years. Right? Am I right?
Well, is it not a smart thing to do, though? He had a fourth-round pick agent, and now he's trying to get a big-time money agent.
Perform, you'll get your money, though.
Everybody don't get the same money.
There's no such thing as a fourth-round pick agent.
You know what I mean. What I mean is, when you're a fourth-round pick, the top guys ain't coming after you.
Let me say this to you and to the people that's listening in Dallas on ESPN. Just because you got an agency with a big name, they ain't going to get you no more money. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys don't give a damn who the agent is if the player can play. They can care less. A okay?
I would say this. I know you played the game, but I've covered the game for a long time. I've seen Jerry Jones take advantage of agents and give players bad deals.
No, you've seen agents and players decide that was the deal that they wanted.
I agree with
that's
him.
The difference.
Okay, whatever. The deal they wanted. Here's the thing. I want to ask Keyshawn Johnson a hypothetical. Would you like to answer this for me?
I want you
in your prime as a wide receiver. It's fourth down. You're at the other team's 11-yard line. You need a touchdown to win. Who's the quarterback throwing you the ball?
Wait, on what team?
It's your team. Whatever team you want to be on. You get to pick your quarterback. You're the wide receiver. You're at the 11-yard line. It's fourth down. You need a touchdown. What quarterback do you want throwing you the ball?
In the league now or in the league ever?
Anytime. It's just Keyshawn's pick.
And wait, let me get this for a second because I'm slow. Fourth down, and we're on our 11 or their 11?
Their 11-yard line. You need a touchdown to win.
Fourth down going in.
Oh, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know who would be your guy.
Yeah, but it all depends on, because if it was the fourth and we was backed up and it was a minute 30 to go, then we're talking different circumstances.
Oh, who quarterback would you want then?
I might want Tommy Brady.
You don't want Aaron in the 2 minute?
Man, Tom Brady is just surgical, man. We just surgical.
What about them bums you played with? What about them bums you played with?
Well, I'm going to take Chester Verde and Brad Johnson out of all of them.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to take them two. So, I mean, those are the two. You know, then I got to always take my dude Drew Henson. You know that.
You practice with Drew Henson. You never played with him.
That's a Yankee tie right there.
No, I did. I actually caught a couple balls from Drew in the Chicago game on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. So you predate Romo. I mean, he was on the team.
But Romo, I didn't play with Romo. Romo was, I think, on the practice squad at that time.
Right, right.
He was a good – Romo was a hell of a quarterback, man. I would have loved to play with Romo. But at that time, they wasn't ready to give Romo the keys. They waited until I left to give him the keys.
Right. Well, I'm going to call Aaron Rodgers and make sure he gets an opportunity to throw you one pass.
No, I'm done. I'm happy being in the position I'm in now. And, you know, I like watching guys like Amari Cooper be able to get ready to do what they do. I can't wait for him in a Dallas uniform. Light it up.
And before we go, I want to let everybody know, Keyshawn Johnson is not just a broadcaster. He's not just a business owner. He's also a sports agent. And one of his clients plays for the Cowboys, Antoine Woods, the out-of-nowhere defensive tackle that came from the fourth
you're
string
done good,
to
Keith.
The starting lineup.
Actually, let's get it right, Clarence. I'm not an agent. I just happen to own the agency.
Oh, that's better.
I'm saying.
I like Keyshawn even more now.
He owns the agency. But you got my boy Antoine Woods. Hey. He just came out of nowhere, been a bright spot for this Cowboys defense, been the middle of that run defense all season. Can you just talk quickly about Aaron? We're up against the break, but let's talk about Antoine.
Well, I think he's done a terrific job for the Cowboys. You know, he was on Tennessee's practice squad for 2 years, and I understand the business of the game. He was behind the draft pick. He was behind the highly priced free agent that they signed. And he beat them both out 2 years in a row in the preseason in the summer. And they didn't want to embarrass themselves in Tennessee by having a guy do that and putting him on a 53-man. Because everybody would say, well, he beat him out, and you guys signed these dudes. You don't know talent. So the Dallas Cowboys, I guess, saw it in the preseason, realized that he fit exactly what they wanted in Rob Marinelli. And they reached out to his agent. It made the deal happen, and now he's starting for the Dallas Cowboys.
No, he reached out to his agency.
Well, he got an agent, too. He just runs the agency.
Well, I'd rather own the agency. Keyshawn Johnson, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Best of luck to you. We'll do this again down the road.
Hey, man, you still owe me $100 over USC losing to Texas twice.
Oh, yeah,
man.
That's true.
If I owe you, get it from Jock, because Jock owed me about $800.
There you go.
All right, man. Appreciate you, man. All Thank right. you.